Awesome. Well, hey, I'm so glad to be here. I do want to introduce myself here in a second. I'll put up a picture of my family and explain what I do here at Watermark. But before I even do that, I just want to thank you guys for being here. And I'm really grateful for SPF for two reasons. Number one is I am the child of a single parent. So my parents are divorced. My mom is a member of Watermark. She's not here tonight. But she's really been influenced by divorce care. She has found community here. She's found a place to serve here. And so I'm just really grateful to see a community of single parents gathering together to encourage one another, because I know how much that's meant to my own mom and to my family. And then secondly, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this in a second, but I've worked with 6th through 12th graders here at Watermark for the last 16 years. I've been on staff. And
you're welcome.
I'm the person that parents call when they're at their wit's end, when everything is falling apart and it's a disaster and it's a mess. And oftentimes, those people who make that call are single parents that are just overwhelmed with, okay, well, not only am I trying to get all the laundry done and get everybody fed and get them to all their soccer practices, now I have this kid that's causing trouble in my house, making bad decisions, or struggling through some issue. And so a lot of times I will take a meeting with that parent or with the parent and the student, and I always just listen to everything that's going on. And my first response to them is I'm like, man, what you are going through is so hard. And who are you going through it with? Who's walking alongside you? Who's taking, like, we're going to come around your kid and help take care of your kid. They've got small groups and small group leaders, but what about you? And so many times that parent is just like, man, I've just been doing everything I can to get my work done, to pay the bills, to get all the kids to all their activities and homework and all their stuff. And they're just like, I don't have anybody. It's just fresh because I just sat with a mom a couple weeks ago that was like, I am broken, I am lost, and I'm alone. And CPS is investigating my family, you know, just, and she's all alone. And I directed her here. She's not here tonight. I wish she was. But I love that there's a place that I can go, hey, you can go here, and you can find other people that have walked through some of the similar things that you're walking through, and there's a community, and there's support, and there's encouragement. And so thank you for those two reasons, from my own family's perspective, and also from all these parents who you're giving them a place to come, a place to be welcomed and loved and known and cared for. And it's a great kind of front door to other ministries at our church. So you guys just gathering here is something that is really valuable to this church. So thank you for being here. Okay, a little bit more about me and then what I want to share tonight. This is a picture of my family. It's my wife, Allie, and then my three kids. The oldest is on the far right. His name's Chapman. He's 10. He's in fourth grade. Then there's Annabelle sitting on my lap. She is 5, preschool. We'll start kindergarten next year. And then Cole is on my wife's lap. He's 8 in second grade. That's my fam. Allie and I met here at Watermark. We were both serving in student ministries. I was on staff. She was a small group leader. And when we started dating, and we've been married, like Scott said, for about 12 years, and we have wonderful children. And this is me on the far left at Lake Highlands High School in the cafeteria at what is now Wake. It used to be called J. Crew because the guy before me named it after a clothing store, which we're still not sure why. But we were having J. Crew. We would drag these wooden stages. We'd keep them hidden under the staircase in Lake Highlands High School, and then we'd drag them out every Sunday. We'd pull up a trailer with all the, you know, other stuff, and then there'd be like 20 or 30 kids on folding chairs that we'd, you know, pull from the choir room, and that was 16 years ago what I did. And then this is a picture just taken a couple months ago. It's really fun. I'm up on the balcony at D-Town with 1,700 kids. So the ministry has changed so much, and it's been just a real blessing for me to be here all of that time, to see it go from 20, 30 kids in the cafeteria at Lake Highlands High School to 1,700 kids hearing the gospel at D-Town this year. So why do I tell you all that? Because in my experience, I've learned something, and it's what I want to share with you tonight. A couple months ago, John McGee, who's on staff with our marriage ministry and Watermark Resources, he kind of cornered me in the copy room. And he's got three kids. A couple of them are in high school. And he said, okay, you've been here a long time. You've been working with teenagers. He goes, I got a question for you. How would you answer this? And I'm going to put the question that he asked up on screen. It's on your page there. And the question was this: what do the healthiest kids at Watermark have in common? So think about the kids that do really well in high school, and it's really hard to be in high school in 2018. And then they even, you watch them because you've been around long enough, they do well in college, they do well after college. Like they keep, when he means healthy, he means spiritually healthy, like they have an abiding, real rich relationship with Jesus. They're hungry for Christian community. They want to serve God with their life. So he's asking me, what do they all have in common? Like what can I do as a parent? So I'm talking to you tonight as a parent. He was asking me, what can I do as a parent? And here's what's funny is, put on the spot in the copy room, I gave him what I now claim is a really dumb answer. And then I've heard him use it like in other talks. He's like, here's what the wise old sage David Peniel said. And so I think what I said to him was like, yeah, I think all the kids who are doing well, the thing they all have in common is they had fun with their families. The family that plays together, stays together, and develops healthy kids. It sounds really good, but it's kind of dumb. I mean, I don't think that's the thing that makes them great. And so I kind of walked out of there going, that was a dumb answer. John liked it, but that was a dumb answer. I need a better answer to that question. And so I actually thought about it. And here's what I'm going to give you tonight is my answer as in my experience as a high school pastor at what the healthiest kids at Watermark all have in common. And what I'm not going to do is give you like a list of 10 things that you need to do as a parent, because I think those can be overwhelming and feel unattainable. I'm just going to give you one thing. And here's why this question is so important, is on some level, I think all of us as parents fear that we aren't doing enough to help our kids become healthy adults. We fear that the world that we're living in, as I've already mentioned, it's just too bad for even the best parents to overcome. And sometimes we fear that we have somehow damaged our kids with our own stories, our own lives, our own decisions, and we've somehow like irreparably sabotaged their futures. And so I just want to encourage you that I don't think any of those are obstacles that are insurmountable. And I think that the healthiest kids at Watermark, what they have in common is something that all of us in this room can attain. And so without further ado, I'm going to share with you what I see as the single most powerful predictor of healthy kids. And it is this: the single most powerful predictor of healthy kids is a parent who is being personally transformed by God. Being consistently, regularly being personally transformed by God. So when I think back and I go, okay, these kids are doing really well. These kids are doing really well. I can every time trace it back to at least one of their parents is actively experiencing ongoing life change because of their relationship with God. And so I want to unpack that for you a little bit, and I want to give you three characteristics of parents who are being personally transformed by God. Three characteristics of parents who are being personally transformed by God. So here we go. I'm going to give you one, a couple scriptures, explain it a bit, maybe give you a few examples, and we'll go on to the next one. We should be done in about 10 minutes, okay? So here's the first one: a humble authenticity about their need for transformation. So in order for you to be personally transformed by God, you have to be authentic and open and humble about your own need for transformation. Like your kids have to understand that you know you're a person that needs to be changed. So Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And I think sometimes we think it's our job as parents, and I know I do, is to hide my sin from my kids. I want them to think that I'm right and they're wrong all the time. But we all have sinned. 1 John 1:7-8, I can put more in this passage, but these two verses will suffice, says that if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Now, key in on that phrase, fellowship with each other. Do you want to have a good relationship with your kids? I know sometimes as your kids become teenagers, you begin to feel farther and farther away. There's a distance that grows. I believe we can have fellowship even with our teenagers, and I've seen parents do it, when parents walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So let me offer a little explanation on this point. Your kids need you to live in the light. Your kids need to know that you sin, that you repent, and that you are forgiven. Sin can be a hard thing to talk about with your kids. Sin can be hard to confess, but when we allow our children to see our sinful nature and how God forgives us, we will help them see their own sinful nature and how God can forgive them. So authenticity and confession between you and your kids bridges the gap between you and your children, and it allows them to see us as a person, to connect with us in a more authentic way. This is that fellowship with one another. So honesty about your brokenness makes us as the parents seem less threatening to our kids. And it makes us seem less condemning. And it opens a line of communication and allows us to share together in the goodness of God in a very personal way. And so this first, a humble authenticity about your own need for transformation. This one is a great one to start with because everyone can do this. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and so you don't have to do anything other than admit that before your kids. So let me give you a couple examples of what this looks like. This Thursday night, so just two nights ago, I had another example, but this one was better. Thursday night, we had a night soccer game, which was super annoying. Second graders playing soccer. It's 6:45 p.m. What are we doing? And so I'm like starving because I hadn't had dinner. I'm coaching the team, so I'm yelling like herding cats, you know. Get a throw in. Keep your feet down. Put your feet down, Elliot. You know, we're just yelling over and over again. And Elliot is the worst about lifting his feet. And so I'm like hungry, I'm grumpy, it's just a long day. And then we go to CVS because two of my kids have colds and they're just snotty and, you know, gunky. And so we go in CVS, my wife runs in and she's in there, like she goes in to pick up like two things of medicine. She's in there for literally 20 minutes. And I'm sitting in the car and my daughter who has a cold, she just starts crying because she's just tired. It's 8 o'clock, it's past her bedtime. So Annabelle's snotting and crying in the back seat. The boys are kind of fighting. It's been 20 minutes. So I send in my oldest. I'm like, what? Go check on your mom, you know? And he goes in there and he's like, she's second in line. And I was like, not good enough. So I storm into CVS. And in front of the employee, I'm like, I'm yelling at my wife, what is taking so long? Knowing it's his fault, you know? But I'm just trying to shame him. And so I like shame this dude who's like, I'm just trying to check people out. And I'm like, you've been in here 20 minutes. I'm just griping at her. And she gets in the car and I'm just crabby. Go take a shower. I'm yelling at the kids to take a shower. Like, why are they in trouble? They need to take a shower. But I'm like just grumpy at everybody. And my wife says, I think you need to eat a snack. She treats me like a toddler. And I'm like, I think you're right. But in my mind, I'm like, I think you're right. But my response is, don't talk to me like a toddler. I'm just a jerk, like all night, right? So that night, the kids go to bed. That night, I had to sit my wife down. And I'd be like, hey, yo, I was a jerk. And I talked to her about Galatians 5, which talks about the fruit of the Spirit, one of them being patience. And I was like, hey, I was grumpy, and I lost patience. I lost it with the CVS guy. I lost it with you. I lost it with the kids and their snot, like everybody. And so then the next day, I sit all the three kids down on the couch, and this is where it kind of applies to this message. And I looked at my kids, and I gave them the same conversation. See, I didn't let pride get the best of me and be like, hey, I'm the dad. I can do whatever I want. And they need to take a shower and go to bed and stop crying about their snot. Like, I could do that, but the Spirit of God and the sharpening of my wife helped me have the humility to own my sin with my kids. And I said, hey, Daddy sinned last night. I was impatient. I was grumpy. I was mean. And I don't want to be that. And so I said I was sorry, and I asked for their forgiveness. So I confessed the sin of impatience and asked for forgiveness for my kids. There's tons of other examples of this. My mom's own journey through divorce care and seeking to make amends with us as children. That was huge for restoring relationship and building trust with us. And then think about every single Watermark news story, every Watermark news story you see on Sunday morning here at church, there's somebody's testimony in the bulletin, and they're confessing like their brokenness and sin and the way God has healed them. Their kids read that. Their kids read that. And they are great parents for doing that because they're demonstrating a humble authenticity about their own need for transformation. So here's the question that you guys can discuss when I wrap up, is just share with each other, how have you shared with your kids in an age-appropriate manner specific ways sin has broken your life and then exposed your need for redemption and healing? Because when you demonstrate your own need, you're helping them see and understand and be okay with their need. All right, let's move on to the second thing. The second characteristic of parents who are being personally transformed by God that I've observed is a diligent and disciplined devotion to understanding and obeying the Word of God. A diligent and disciplined devotion to understanding and obeying the Word of God. So as I thought about these kids who were healthy, and then I thought about their stories and things I've asked them and talked to them about their family, all of them could cite something like, I just thought of three kids right off the top of my mind who said something like, man, every single day, my dad texts me a Bible verse that he read in his devotion that morning and a little thought or a little encouragement, like every single day. Or I thought of my friend Cameron who had confessed to small group that he was struggling with pornography and he was looking at it consistently and he didn't want to and he felt guilty. And we asked him, have you talked to your dad about it? And he said, no, oh no, I could never do that. And we really encouraged him and pushed him to. And then a couple weeks later, he thanked us and he said, man, I'm so glad I talked to my dad about it. He, number one, shared with me his own story and his own struggle with that. But then number two, he began sending me Bible verses every day, either writing them down on a card or sending them a text message to offer me reminders of truth and encouragement and to tell me that he was praying for me. And so a couple scriptures that go along with this one. Psalm 119, just the whole thing, but I just pulled out two verses. How can a young person stay pure? Do you want your kids to stay pure? They do it by obeying God's word. God's word is a lamp to guide our feet and a light for our path. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true, make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, teaches us to do what is right. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So here's some questions I want you to think about. Do you want your kids to be pure? Do you want your kids to find their path in life? Do you want your kids to understand where they're going wrong? Do you want your kids to be equipped to do good? I think all of us would answer yes to those, but here's what we have to understand. Our kids won't stay pure without God's word. They won't find their path through life without God's word. They won't understand where they go wrong without an understanding of God's word, and they won't be equipped to do good without God's word. And here's the kicker for me and you. They probably won't read and apply God's word if they don't see you reading and applying God's word. And so I want to challenge you to be disciplined and to make this one of your highest priorities in your life. There we go. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 says, don't you realize in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? You got to run to win. Athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that'll fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So what this is saying is your discipline to be in God's word, to be reading, studying, and applying God's word to your life every day, there's a prize that comes with that. The imitation and the eternal transformation of primarily your children, the people God has given you to lead and has set to follow you. So we run with purpose in every step. We're not just shadow boxing. We discipline our body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. After preaching to my kids, telling them what they should do, they end up realizing I'm a hypocrite. And my leadership is disqualified because I'm not doing it myself. I remember my mom rising early. Here's a question for you to jot down. But I remember my mom rising early to study God's word and always having something ready to teach my sister and I at the breakfast table. And now I follow her example. Watermark set us up great with Join the Journey. And so I just make sure I get up before my kids and I have read Join the Journey, and then they sit down at the breakfast table, and if I'm ever running late, they'll ask me about it. Are we going to do Join the Journey? And it's so simple. We just read the scripture and we read the devotional and we talk about it. But my kids know what I'm reading in God's word and what I'm learning from it. And I've already told you about the parents who will send text messages and reminders to their kids. So here's a question for you to discuss at your table is, what is your time, place, and plan? Those three things are essential if you're going to read and understand and apply God's word. You've got to have a regular time, a regular place, and a regular plan for going through God's word. Do your kids know then what God is revealing to you through his word each day? So maybe your time, place, and plan is out of sight for them. So part of your plan needs to be, when am I communicating that to my kids, what God is teaching me? And then lastly, the third characteristic of parents who are being personally transformed by God is an uncompromising commitment to prioritizing God's provisions of community and service. Community is a gift. I have to remind myself of this regularly because a lot of times I hate it. My community group's kind of in a funk right now. We're fine. Everything's fine. But we've been together for 12 years. And we go through these seasons where it's just really hard for us to like get on the same page and understand one another. But it is a provision of God. It is a gift of God in our lives. The same thing with service. Sometimes it is hard to find the time to serve the mission of God. But I'm telling you, if you want your kids to have friends that they can count on, if you want them to be a source of encouragement and hope to others and strength to others, if you want your kids to serve at their church, if you want those things for them, you have to go first. You have to. Romans 12, 4, and then I'll pull out 10 and 11. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and this is key here, and we all belong to each other. We should be intimately connected to one another. We receive life from one another. In the same way, a hand cut off from my arm, the hand would die. The flesh would die. The muscles wouldn't work because it's cut off. It's got to be connected. We have to be connected with one another in order to experience the life of God. And so we love each other with genuine affection. We take delight in honoring each other. And we never should be lazy, but we work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, and we should use them well to serve one another. So here's your question on this point is this. How would your kids fill in these blanks? And it's on your page. My parents are influenced, or my parent is influenced by blank. What group of people would they name? Would they have names to say, these are the people that are shaping my mom or dad's life? And then would they say their station on the battleship or the place that they serve is blank? Would they have a blank to fill in? So my kids know. I take them to school on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But my kids know I'm not taking them to school on Tuesday because I'm at Watermark at 6:30 a.m. And they could tell you, I'm up here meeting with Clint, with Jeff, with Russ, and with William. They know their names. They know their wives. They know their kids because those are the guys that are my community. They are the guys that influence me, that support me, that are there for me when I go through something hard. My kids know that. Do your kids know that? And my kids know that I put them to bed on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, but I don't put them to bed on Wednesday because they know on Wednesday night I'm out working with high schoolers and I'm sharing the gospel with them. I'm teaching them to follow God's word. I'm teaching them how to build community with one another. They know that I'm with teenagers. And so they know that's my station on the battleship. So how would your kids answer those questions? So let's summarize, and I want to end with a story. What do the healthiest kids at Watermark have in common? The single most powerful predictor, I believe, of healthy kids is at least one parent who's being personally transformed by God. And then you've got these three things if you didn't get to write them down. I want to read to you some text messages that were sent in by a kid named Colby. He's an 11th grader, and I just think his story will encourage you, and it kind of sums up everything we talked about. Here's what Colby says. We started going to Watermark in 2013, and then my parents' relationship was not really the best. They stayed together, but they fought a lot and didn't know how to resolve conflict at all. My dad in particular would end up yelling at me over things a lot, and our relationship was pretty bad. I did not feel comfortable coming to my parents to talk about anything serious at all, so I just kept most things to myself when there would be family discussions. Pretty soon, after we started going to Watermark, my mom tried to get my dad to do re-engage, but he did not want to for a variety of reasons. But long story short, that ended up in multiple fights that were pretty audible to me and my sister. Somehow, after the last fight, my dad gave in and agreed to do re-engage with my mom. I'm not sure about the timing of when their relationship started to improve, but after they started re-engage, I noticed my parents would not fight as much, and I saw my dad overlooking things he typically would have gotten angry about. Their relationship wasn't perfect, but I saw improvement, and my relationship with my dad simultaneously improved as well. Another thing that improved my parents' relationship with one another, maybe even more than re-engage, has been regeneration. My mom started regen and just finished in February, meanwhile convincing my dad to do it as well. My dad is a little less than halfway done in regen, and the entire family has seen massive improvements in our relationships with each other because of that. My parents can actually go through conflict peacefully and not yell at each other every time now, and I notice that they are more friendly towards each other and their community group. My faith was pretty weak before any of this happened, but when my parents' relationship started to improve, listen, I realized that only God could have made a good relationship out of the previous relationship that my parents had. And my faith definitely grew as a result of that. I'm definitely inclined to believe that God can change me after seeing my parents completely change. God can do whatever he wants, which includes changing me. I now feel more inspired to seek God because of what he did with my parents. I still feel like if he wants to change my life and my family's lives positively, then I should be seeking him diligently. That's a great example, isn't it? Isn't that neat? So those parents had a humble authenticity, not at first, but eventually, to go, okay, we're going to make room in our Wednesday nights. We're going to make room in our Monday nights because we have a need for transformation. And our fights are just getting louder and louder, so we might as well admit it. And then they were diligent and disciplined to devote themselves to understanding and obeying the Word of God. I don't know what you know about our regeneration ministry, but it's a pretty intense curriculum that includes daily lessons in God's Word. And so mom did that all the way through, dad's halfway through. And so they're diligent and disciplined in their devotion. And then they have an uncompromising commitment to prioritizing God's provisions of community and service. That not only have they done those ministries, but as the son noted, the parents now have their own community group. And so that is a great example of parents that were a mess in 2013, and their kids were basically hopeless because of that. Like he said, I stayed out of it. I didn't share my life with my parents. And now he says, I have a good relationship with my parents, and I am seeking God myself because of what I've seen him do in their lives. And we all have the opportunity to do that with our kids. And so let me pray that you would, and then we'll wrap up and get out of here. Well, actually, we won't get out of here. You'll get to discuss these questions for a little bit. All right, Lord, I thank you so much for the single-parent families that are represented in this room. I thank you for my own family and the way that you have used my mom's faithfulness in my life, in my sister's life, and in her grandkids' lives. And I pray that you would do the same with the people in this room, that they would be humble and authentic about their need for you, and that their kids would see your work of redemption and restoration in their own lives and see that it's possible in their lives. I pray that they'd prioritize God's word, community, and service in a way that sets an example for their kids, and that the kids that come out of the families in this room would without hesitation point to as the healthiest kids at Watermark because of the example and leadership of their parents. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.